In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
How great is Christ's humility! He grew in wisdom and in knowledge. Though omniscient, knowing all things, he learned how to live as a man. After his baptism, the Spirit led him into the wilderness so that he might learn obedience by suffering. He is the eternal Son of God, but he must learn how to trust in God as a man in the midst of trials and temptation. So that he might be anointed as our great high priest and able to help us in our hour of need. Thus, he proves himself worthy of this office of high priest in that wilderness. God used the devil. God used the devil to teach Jesus what it means to be the Christ. God tempts no one. He does not desire man to sin, but desires that he lives a holy and God-pleasing life, overcoming each and every sin. It is the devil who tempts, and it is also the fallen world, the unbelieving world, that tempts our sinful flesh and entices and pulls us away from the ways and commands of God. But that does not mean that God does not use the devil and his tricks and lies for our good. He allowed the devil to tempt Adam and Eve in the beginning. He wanted them to overcome. He wanted Adam and Eve to learn obedience, to learn what it means to be a son or a daughter of God by overcoming the devil, by defeating his tricks and his lies. And then Adam would have known even more the righteousness and holiness of God in the midst of that trial. But we heard that Adam failed. And we see it in our lives all around us. The rest of Scripture reveals how fallen man cannot overcome temptation on his own and cannot break free from the devil's grip. The Scriptures are often charged as being about men. They're charged with the accusation that they are about men and are somehow demeaning toward women. While I agree that they are about men, they are not demeaning toward women, but they're about the failures of men, the inability of all these men to overcome sin and temptation and to restore the kingdom of God on earth or to break free from the devil's grip. And so the men throughout the Scripture keep on dying, for they perpetuate Adam's sin and are unable to set themselves, much less anyone else, free from sin and death. And the devil thought the same thing would happen to this man in the wilderness, yet the Holy Spirit had led him into the wilderness to prove that this man was different. We should not picture Jesus 40 days in the wilderness as somehow easy. He is not sitting around in peaceful, quiet meditation. But throughout these 40 days, the devil tempted him. We have three of them listed here. Jesus must learn through suffering. He must learn that he is the eternal Son of God and anointed to be the Lord's Christ. He has this information and he knows it and he believes it, but now he must learn how to live as the God-man. And he learns that through his sufferings and trials. He lacked food in the wilderness, a pillow on which to lay his head throughout his entire life, and he lacked a God to rescue him from the fiery torments of hell on that Good Friday. Jesus of Nazareth did not have an easy life. He was a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief so that he might learn reverent submission toward God. He must wait for God's timeline, not his own. So these temptations trained Christ for his office as high priest so that he might be able to help us in our weaknesses. The sufferings made him perfect, For he did not internalize these trials and temptations, neither did he dig down deep within himself to overcome the devil's attacks. But day and night he poured out his heart to God in prayer, with loud cries and supplications to his Father. Through suffering, he learned obedience. Through suffering, he learned how to pray to God and to trust in God for all good things. Not the well-ordered prayers of a peaceful and a quiet heart, but he prays with loud cries and tears, as the scriptures say. He learned to cry out to God for help. He learned to trust in God's word and to wait patiently for the Lord to deliver him. When tempted, he learned to wield the word of God. When hungry, he learned to wait for God to bless him. When presented with idolatry, he learned to lean on the word of God and to trust in him alone as Lord. He learned to believe that God would rescue him from every temptation, every trial, every suffering, yes, even from death itself, for he prayed, "I believe that I will look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." He learned not by silently pondering the truths of Scripture, but by living the Scriptures, wrestling with them as he sat in the throes of suffering, trials, and temptation. How can I be the Son of God when I am starving to death in a wilderness? Why can't I win the kingdom with a quick bend of the knee? Why can't I prove my divinity to all by leaping from the temple pinnacle so all may see those holy angels come swooping down to save me? The prayers of Christ begin to crescendo in Gethsemane as with bloody sweat his agonized soul prays, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup away from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." And they reach a climax on Good Friday's dark afternoon. "Why have you forsaken me?" And so he learned reverent submission by what he suffered. Submission does not mean that he never asked why this or that happened. But submission means that he knew where to look for the answers. Not in his own feelings. He's starving of hunger. Not in his experience. He sees the devil and a wilderness around him. It is written. It is written. It is written. The word was his confidence, for he knew that he should look upon the word of God. There he found his answers, and there he placed his confidence, regardless of what that answer was. So he does not flash his power to multiply stones into loaves. He does not drive away the devil with his almighty divine power. But he overcomes the devil as a man, so that he might earn what we could not. He learned obedience by what he suffered, and he earned a perfection, a righteousness before God that was sufficient for all men. And thus he was appointed to be the great high priest, ready to help you in your hour of need. And so we see that the devil unwittingly taught Christ what it means to be the Christ, the high priest of sinners. And yet the devil learned nothing throughout it all. He still drove Christ to the cross, and even though that man remained pure, holy, and spotless, and Christ earned a righteousness Adam lost and sealed it in his own divine blood on Calvary. There he paid for the sins of the whole world. None were forgotten, none were left out. And now he has ascended on high to the very right hand of God to be a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek, to sprinkle on you his righteousness through the forgiveness of all your sins. You still fail, but Christ did not. You still succumb to temptation, but Christ did not. You still may be deceived at times like Eve, but Christ stands at God's right hand, ready to cleanse you from all of your sins, and to impart his righteousness on you once more. So you can approach the throne of God with boldness and confidence. You do not need the prayers of saints to help you, nor do you need the prayers of a pastor, nor do you need to storm the throne of grace with many others, because the prayer of a righteous man, one, avails much. Through Christ, you are righteous. You have but one mediator, one Lord, one Savior, one intercessor who proved himself worthy of your prayers in that wilderness. He knows the struggles you go through in this life. He knows the difficulties that you face, for he himself experienced them all. And yet he uses them for your good, so that you might learn what it is to be a Christian. As the devil unwittingly taught Jesus what it means to be the Christ, so the devil unwittingly teaches you what it is to be a Christian. Perhaps with loud cries and tears, you have asked God for help, trying to reconcile this life of yours with the Word of God. Why is he silent? Why would he let this disease come at this time? Why do things keep compounding, one trouble after another, until it's overwhelming? Remember, submission doesn't mean that you never ask God why, but it means you know where to look for the answer. Not in your own feelings, not in your experiences in life, not in what you see around you. It is written. You look for that answer in his word, and you are content with whatever answer he gives. For Christ, your high priest, stands at God's right hand to cleanse you of your sins, to overcome the devil through his blood. And as Christ patiently waited for 40 days for God to help him, 40 is the number of patience. So you patiently wait for God to deliver you from this wilderness we call this world, confident that soon he will send his holy angels to carry you to Abraham's side. For it is written that Jesus is your Lord and Savior and sacrifice. He has atoned for all of your sins. And now he stands ready to sprinkle his blood on you once more, so that you might have his forgiveness and his righteousness. So cry out to him. Approach the throne of grace, this holy altar, with boldness and confidence, for here is your priest, the one who has atoned for your sins and has conquered the devil. Cry out to him in faith. He will provide a way out, and that way out is through his blood. For thus it is written, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.